Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and a warm welcome to the Q1 2020 results presentation, which will be hosted by our CEO, José Bogas, and the CFO, Luca Passa. Following the presentation, we will have the usual Q&A session open to those connected on the call and on the web. Thank you, and now let me hand over to José Bogas.
Thank you, Mar. Good afternoon to everybody. Let's start with the main highlight of the period. In the first quarter of 2021, we have faced a complex and turbulent market context in which we have managed to achieve an EBITDA slightly above 1,000 million euros, in line with our full-year guidance announced back in November last year. The investment in digitalization undertaken in recent years and the provision booked so far devoted to coal fleet accelerated closure and digitalization have allowed for a high degree of operational efficiency. Clear evidence of our progression in reshaping our company towards a cleaner and more sustainable business approach is delivering more than 90% of our CO2-free output on mainland, while all of our bank debt was linked to sustainable metrics. Our active management of current assets and liabilities has allowed us to deliver a sound cash generation, doubling operating cash flow when compared to 2020 first quarter. And finally, the 2020 shareholder remuneration proposal, which is the highest since 2014, was approved at our recent AGM. A final dividend of 1.3136 euros per share will be paid on the first business day of July, which, on top of the 0.7 euros per share of the interim dividend already paid in January, represents a 37% increase versus last year. Moving now to slide number three. In terms of ESG, 2021 will be a turning point for Endesa. The acceleration of the coal fleet closure has allowed us to exceed 2023 CO2 emission-free output targets 2 years in advance. Further proof of our strong commitment to decarbonization was the recent approval of the AGM complementing the variable senior management remuneration with the renewable deployment during the time frame of the current plan. Concerning the social aspect, we firmly believe on the commitment to alleviating the needs of the most vulnerable group. In this sense, Endesa and the Catalan government agreed to write off energy debts for more than 35,000 vulnerable families. Within the circular economy objective under the European Union Recovery Fund framework, we have presented 17 projects for a total of 3.6 billion euros. For this initiative, 40,400 new jobs could be created. We have also achieved a further step forward in our plan to promote gender diversity, with the presence of women in position of responsibility reaching over 36% of director on the board from the former 30%, and well on track to reach the announced 40% by 2022. I would like to point out that regarding health safety, it should be noted that Endesa's continuing effort to protect employees and contractors in the work environment. The combined accident frequency rate on our own workers and contractor has improved, confirming the downward trend recorded for many years now. The deployment of all of our initiatives and the integration of the ESG scope across all areas has been recognized by the most prominent ESG rating worldwide. Endesa has recently being included in the top ranking position by ISS Quality Score Index. I would like to comment on the evolution of the scenario over the period on slide number four. First quarter of 2021 clearly shows that electricity demand in Spain is still far from recovering from the effects of the pandemic. Despite the cold waves experienced this winter, we have seen one of the most hesitant first quarters in recent times. Mainland power demand has increased by 0.6%, but decreased -0.4% adjusted by calendar and temperature effect. Likewise, in Endesa's concession area, gross demand has slightly increased by 0.4% in non-adjusted term and 0.1% in adjusted term. These figures are mainly driven by the drop in industry and service segment, partially offset by the increase in the residential sector activity. As far as prices are concerned, the 30% increase over the period mainly stems from the effect of lower temperatures due to the Filomena storm in January, which can be clearly seen in the charts, as well as the rise in gas references. Let's move now to slide number five, where thanks to a continued effort on decarbonization, mainland renewable capacity represents around 45% of the total, well on track to reach the 62% target set out in our business plan. Likewise, CO2-free sources constitute 64% of our installed capacity in the peninsula. As a consequence of the coal phase-out process, today's thermal generation represents just 9% of the total mainland production, mostly from CCGTs, a decrease of 21%. This has allowed us to reach a renewable output of 4.1 TWh, a 14% increase versus the first quarter 2020. 73% of this production increase is due to the combination of new wind capacity, which came on stream at the end of 2020, and higher load factors. Emission-free production boosted to 91% of the mainland total output, already exceeding the target set for 2023. On page number six, let us now focus on the main driver supporting our ambitions to grow in renewables. We continue to maintain a constant effort to feed our renewable project pipeline, which is key to achieving our ambitious 2030 capacity development plan. Our gross pipeline was boosted to 44.4 GW from 41.8 announced in the full year 2020, out of which around 15% has TSO awarded connection points and 2.3 GW under execution. Considering the latter project and the mature pipeline, solar technology weighs 70%. All of this provides comfort to be well on track to meet the 700 MW of renewable capacity target. In March 2021, Endesa acquires a photovoltaic portfolio of 519 MW from the Spanish developer Arena Power. Total CapEx, including acquisition and construction, will amount to 350 million euros. Regarding storage project, we have built up an important pipeline of 6 GW in batteries, out of which 0.4 GW are already in our mature pipeline. When it comes to electrification, on slide number seven, total energy sold dropped by 3% quarter-on-quarter as a consequence of the COVID impact on economic activity. This last quarter has been fully affected, whereas in the first quarter of 2020, it impacted barely 15 days. Also, the high competitive intensity in the market, the labor effect of 2020 being a leap year, and the different Easter holiday period must be taken into account. By segment, the most affected is B2B, -9%, hit by the economic deceleration due to the COVID impacting industry activity. B2C sales showed an increase of 10%, mostly as a consequence of the low temperatures due to the Filomena storm and the still important home working mode. Total power customer decreased by 1%, or around 110,000, of which 63,000 in the free market due to the strong increase in competitive intensity. At the same time, we had been putting in place a number of commercial strategies for both the B2C and B2B sectors, helping us to revert this trend. Our approach is based on our client knowledge and an increasingly sophisticated range of products and services aimed at retaining and attracting higher margin clients through increased value proposal. All this is possible thanks to the digitalization investment carried out by the company in the last years, the reinforcement of the commercial channels, and the continuous focus on efficiencies. Regarding electric mobility, we continue to deliver on our deployment plan of charging points, reaching a total of 7,500. This continuous effort enables to maintain our leadership position in Spain with more than 2,000 public charging points. Regarding our energy management in slide number 8, the unitary integrated margin resulted in 30.3 euros per megawatt hour, a 12% decrease versus the 34.3 euros per megawatt hour of 2020, while electricity sales in the liberalized business are down by 4%, minus 0.7 terawatt hour. This margin normalization was already anticipated and in line with the business plan expectation of 29-30 euros per megawatt hour in 2021, moving to 31 in 2023, backed by a higher stake of renewables in our mix and better market condition as COVID fades. The main factors behind this margin decrease were lower generation margin, mainly due to the application of the new Catalan tax and lower OTC references, the absence of the positive effect recorded last year around the effective management of the short position versus a flat situation in this quarter, and the supply margin almost flat, having a better sales mix with a slightly higher unitary margin, mitigating lower sales and higher ancillary service costs. Regarding forward sales, we have hedged for 2021 97% of our estimated price-driven output at a price of around 71 euros per megawatt hour. Once we consider our total sales mix, the all-in revenue, that is including indexed energy, will reach 67 euros per megawatt hour. For 2022, hedge volumes stand at over 60% at a price around 74 euros per megawatt hour. All-in-all price and estimated all-in revenue will be similar to 2021 once all of the estimated price-driven output has been hedged. And now, let me hand over to Luca Passa, who will give you the financial results.
Thank you, Pepe, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Let's now have a look at the financials of the period. I'm on slide number 10. Reported EBITDA stood at 1,019 million euro, decreasing 31%. On a like-for-like basis, once netted from the last year personal provision effects, the EBITDA would have decreased 9%. Net ordinary income dropped by 41% year-on-year, reaching 491 million euro, 13% lower deducted the first quarter 2020 provision mentioned above. Funds from operation reached 583 million euro, doubling last year reference. Finally, net debt increased to 7.5 billion euro, up plus 9% versus full year 2020. Moving to the detailed analysis of the like-for-like EBITDA on slide number 11, let me now briefly set out the main drivers. As already commented, like-for-like EBITDA stood at 1,090 million euros, minus 9% versus first quarter 2020. Generation and supply EBITDA decreased by 16% to 462 million euro, mainly affected by the market conditions impacting in the business as well as we will explain later on. Distribution EBITDA declined 3% at 476 million euro. Finally, non-mainland generation EBITDA remained stable at 81 million euro. Moving to a deeper analysis, we are now on slide 12 on the regulated business. Like-for-like EBITDA decreased by 2% to €557 million, with a lower gross margin partially offset by a 13% reduction in the fixed cost. Distribution margin decreased by 3%, mainly due to the application of the new remuneration parameters of the second regulatory period. The non-mainland generation gross margin fell by 15%, negatively affected by demand drop associated to COVID, the absence of the positive regularization from previous years recorded in 2020, and the lower remuneration in the new regulatory period, partially offset by better fuel and CO2 compensation. Fixed costs were 26 million lower once deducted the net provision release effect of last year, mainly due to the lower maintenance cost in the islands. Moving to the liberalized business on slide number 13, EBITDA reached €462 million, 16% decrease, with 5% of lower gross margin and 15% increase in the fixed cost on a like-for-like basis, mainly as a consequence of the positive update of workforce provision booked last year. The liberalized electricity margin amounts to €766 million, being positively affected by the recognition to Endesa of the right to be compensated for the CO2 clawback in 2006 for €188 million booked in 2021. In addition, as mentioned before, it has been negatively impacted by the new Catalan tax in force since 1st of July 2020, the absence of the positive results in the short position booked last year, and by lower OTC references. Supply margin remains barely flat, with a slightly higher unitary margin, overcoming lower sales and higher ancillary services costs. Enel Green Power gross margin reached €103 million, plus 26%, thanks to the new capacity in place and a 36% increase in the production. Gas gross margin fell €64 million in first quarter 2021 to €11 million, mainly affected by the negative mark-to-market delta of €61 million due to the steep rebound of gas prices, triggering this opposite non-cash effect. We expect this impact to be diluted or fully neutralized along the next quarters as the contracts are being settled. Excluding this mark-to-market impact in both quarters, gas gross margin is aligned to guidance. Endesa X contributes with €30 million of gross margin, minus €5 million versus first quarter 2020, mainly due to the perimeter effect. Moving now to the next slide, more details on the evolution of fixed costs. Total report fixed cost reached €513 million, 4% increase on a like-for-like basis. Once deducted non-recurrent effects as the update of provisions for workforce restructuring plans in place, indemnities and tax and labor-related risks, fixed cost would have decreased by 3% due to the several efficiency plans booked in previous years that will further contribute to the full year results. Moving now to slide number 15, on the P&L evolution from EBITDA to net ordinary income. D&A increased by 13%, explained by the higher amortization, mainly in renewable and distribution, the negative delta resulting from the reversal of the coal impairment book in 2020, and a slight increase of €10 million in bad debt provisioning, partially linked to COVID pandemic. Net financial results were strongly affected by the financial revenue from interest rate for late payment in relation to Endesa right to be compensated for the 2006 CO2 clawback. This was partially offset by the financial update of workforce and dismantling provision, while rates increased by 0.91% in the first quarter 2020, in the first quarter 2021, rates remains almost flat. The effective tax rate resulted in 24.4%, slightly higher than last year and aligned to the business plan expectation, and this has been the consequence of lower tax deductions in the Canary Islands. On the bottom line, net ordinary income decreased by 41% over the period, minus 13% on a like-for-like basis. Moving to cash flow on slide number 16, Funds from operation increased by 111% year on year, reaching 583 million euro due to the following effects. Lower EBITDA after provision paid of minus 471 million euro, out of which 356 million euro are explained by the net provision reversal booked in the first quarter 2020. Working capital and others improved by 71%, mainly thanks to the above mentioned net provision release in the first quarter 2020, the improvement of regulatory receivables, a lower net balance of receivables and payables accounts, and lower inventories, the effect of derivatives and other non-cash provision. Income tax paid amounted to minus 2 million euro versus plus 74 million euro in the previous year, mainly due to the 73 million euro corporate tax refund corresponding to fiscal year 2018. Cash-based capex, 16% lower than the previous year, also led free cash flow to positive 158 million euro in this period, 390 million higher than in the first quarter 2020. Let's now have a look at net debt on slide 17. Net debt amounts to 7.5 billion euro, 600 million euros higher than full year 2020. This increase is attributable to the payment of the interim dividend against 2020 results paid in January. The regulatory working capital remains slightly below last year figures at 848 million euro. Our leverage remains stable with a debt to EBITDA ratio at 1.9 times on a like-for-like basis once deducted the provision effect booked in the second quarter 2020. It's worth to highlight the extraordinarily low cost of debt, which is maintained at 1.7%, marking historical minimum and place Endesa as the European utility with the lowest cost of debt, as well as the increase in the coverage of debt maturities to a very comfortable 35 months. And now let's take a deeper look in our sustainable finance on slide number 18. During the first quarter, Endesa has continued to deploy an intense activity in sustainable finance with 2.8 billion euro in new sustainable linked transactions. Endesa signed credit lines for an aggregate amount of 2.1 million euros with 11 leading financial institutions, meaning that all of its liquidity bank facilities are linked to an SDG criteria. We have also reached a new milestone by linking 150 million 7-year bank loan to a new SDG KPI of scope 1 with greenhouse emission reduction. Sustainable finance now accounts for almost 50% of total gross financial debt versus 45% at December 2020, right on track towards the 60% goal in 2023. With the official 2020 award to the best sustainable loan, we confirm our leadership in sustainable finance, developing innovative structures, applying to a wide range of instruments, and engaging a significant portion of our financial and commercial counterparties. And now, let me hand over to Pepe for his final remarks.
Sorry. Thank you, Luca. To close this presentation on slide number 19, I would like to share some final remarks on our performance during this first quarter. 2021 guidance is confirmed, despite the exceptional condition in this quarter that we expect to normalize during the year. We keep advancing in our decarbonization and electrification process in an efficient way, lowering costs while increasing our share of CO2-free emission production. To this effect, we increased by 22% up to 23.3 billion euros the project presented to the Recovery, Transformation and Resiliency Plan. Strong cash generation capacity shown during this first quarter of the year. A relevant set of innovative sustainability-linked financial operations confirming our commitment and leadership in sustainable finance. In such a context, the outstanding dividend yield in 2021 is the strongest evidence of sound value creation to our shareholders. And ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our first quarter 2021 results presentation. Thank you very much for your attention, and we are ready to take some questions.
Okay, thank you, Pepe. Thank you, Luca. We are now open to take any questions you may have.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad now. If you change your mind, please press star followed by two. When preparing to ask your question, please ensure your phone is unmuted locally.
Okay. The first question comes from Alberto Gandolfi from Goldman Sachs. Please, Alberto, go ahead.
Thank you, Mara, and good evening. Thanks for taking my questions. I guess the first one is, I was looking at the evolution of the customer numbers, and it looks like you're broadly down 100,000. Maybe it's a rounding just, but it's about 100,000 in the quarter, which would be like nearly 4% annualized. So I was wondering if you can comment on the dynamics in this segment, and if you have a counter plan to basically stop this from happening. The second question is on the financial expenses line. Can you tell us, maybe without those non-recurring elements, what we should expect for a normal quarter? Should we be in about 40 million, perhaps, euros? So just trying to see how normalized would be. And last, not least, when do you think you're going to start to see the benefits from higher power prices? I guess that's a question on your hedging policies. And just to double check, you have more than 30 terawatt hour, about 32 of nuclear and hydro, but also some of the renewables is exposed to power prices. So would you agree that we should think about your sensitivity to power prices for next year at about 40 terawatt hour and growing? And I know you look at it on an integrated margin basis, but just trying to understand when you can reprice the portfolio and see all the benefits. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Alberto. I will try to answer the first one, give some ideas about the last one, and then Luca to complement what I am going just to say and to answer the second one about finances. First of all, with regard to the supply competition, let me say, first of all, that supply margin, our supply margin in the first quarter of this year 2021 remain almost flat, with a slightly higher unitary margin, overcoming, I would say, the lower sales. B2C sales showed an increase of 10%, but B2B sales decreased by 9%, as we have said. And the higher ancillary services costs linked to a very special situation of the Filomena storm and also the very reduced thermal gap in February due to the very high renewable production linked to the very high CO2 or higher CO2 and gas prices. Having said that, it is true that total power customers decreased by 1%, that is 100,000, but in the free market, which is the important figure for us, 60,000 customers, which is very, very important. So all in all, we have faced first quarter 2021 with lower demand than expected due to the COVID restriction, but in line with last year, perhaps, these higher ancillary and load say factor costs, mainly due to Filomena, that it's give us minus 25 million euros, and a strong increase in competitive intensity. Strong increase that we saw in the fourth quarter of 2020, and it has continued in the first quarter of 2021. This strong increase in competitive intensity, it was produced, at least in my opinion, by one of the incumbents. Which has increased its aggressiveness, I would say, doing three things, in my opinion, two of them with sense, in my opinion, and the other without any sense. The first one is the brand and commercial campaigns. huge increase. The second is a high sales channels remuneration. Okay, it's okay. And the third is a price war in the sense that trying to reduce prices to the customers. And then the rest of the competitors have started to respond to this incumbent and also following, not as this first one, but following this strategy. So we are facing a situation that had a high probability to occur, that is a price war. But in my opinion, this situation, a price war, is never linked to an intelligent or smart market management. It is usually executed, in my opinion, by new entrants who normally do not seek to remain in the business, but to, I would say, extract value quickly by selling the customer base. When one of the main incumbents executes this strategy, it is usually due, in my opinion, again, to a specific action for a short-term interest, which is time, or I would say to a lack of ideas or ability to make an offer to customer that add value to both the company and the client, in my opinion. We remain being the market leader, and we have, again, in my opinion, a very clear commercial strategy. We are perhaps the most advanced utility in Spain in terms of digitalization, which will allow us for sure to approach our customer in a completely different and personalized way. Ways. Therefore, we have to continue with our medium long-term strategy based on the extraordinary effort we are making in digitalization to build a future unique value proposition for our clients, personalized and adapted to their needs. However, in the short, medium term, as you have said or asked, we are launching a set of actions, short-term actions, to mitigate the negative impact of our competitive strategy, looking for a not meaningful deterioration of our client portfolio marginality. In that sense, we are increasing all channels' capacity and performance, looking for a greater number of acquisitions just to compensate the losses. And also, we are allocating additional resources to strengthen loyalty and retention based on our knowledge of the customer and the advanced analytics. All this with a continued focus on efficiencies based on the digitalization and the platformization of the business should allow us to mitigate and navigate in these troubled waters, let's say that. But being honest, I think that sooner or later, and I think that sooner than later, we will recover the very high competitive marketing which we are living, but with more sense than the ones that we have had. We, in my opinion, we should not be nervous. We should manage this situation, which is not easy. We should manage, but we should continue with our commercial strategy that will give value to our customers and will give value to us. With regard to the when we are going just to benefit from the higher power prices, for sure in the year 2022, for sure. And also, just because of the volatility of these prices, and not only the power, but also the commodities. You should know that we have a long position in CO2 and in oil, etc. We will try to mitigate, to compensate, and really to benefit from this situation. But absolutely clear in the year 2022. And now, Luca, if you want to answer and compliment.
Thank you, Pepe. No, I'll give just the right numbers. When it comes to customer loss, is 63,000 in the liberalized market, and the rest, the complement, 110,000 in the regulated market. And just probably underline that obviously we look at the liberalized customers as the main objective for us to reduce this kind of customer loss. On the regulated front, I can tell you that the trend is reversing, and this is a trend that started last year with actually the evolution of pool price, where the regulated tariff became the most effective tariff in the market. With obviously pool price increasing, this is already reverting, and we will see the reversion in the coming months. So regulated customers are not an issue for us, but as when it comes to liberalize, is the strategy that Pepe pointed out. For the second question, when it comes to a normalized cost of debt, for us, it's in the region of 40 million per quarter, with a guidance in the region of 170 million for the full year. And for the, say, the third and fourth questions, as Pepe said, I mean, we still have about 40% of our production to be hedged in 2022. So therefore, there we will realize some of these higher prices, because if you recall, we started the hedging with our residential customer base, and we're leaving, I would say, volumes in B2B to the latter, and obviously B2B are more, say, linked to the evolution of pool prices. Therefore, this remaining 40% will benefit from higher prices.
Okay, thank you, Alberto. The next question comes from Harry Wyburd from Bank of America.
Hi, everyone. Good evening. Two questions from me, please. So the first one's on these CO2 gains. I just wondered if you could remind everyone on the call the background to those. And then I just want to check I'm understanding correctly. So there's 188 million in EBITDA and 70 million in financial income. And obviously, if you add that up, that's nearly 40% of pre-tax profit. So have I thought about that right? And was this assumed in your guidance, or is this different to what you're expecting? So that's the first one. Second one, totally different topic. On the projects you've proposed for EU stimulus, so a couple of things on this. So firstly, how do you envisage returns and competition on these projects? So, you know, what kind of IRRs do you think are realistic to assume here? And do you think you're going to see the same level of financial competition on these as you do in sort of generic renewables? And then also, if you got all of those projects funded, would that represent an upgrade to the CapEx plans that you outlined back in November? Thank you.
Okay, on the first one, so this is, first of all, the numbers are correct, 188 million in gross margin and about 70 million of financial revenue for accrued interest. This is the final judgment of the Audiencia Nacional recognizing Endesa rights to be compensated for the reduction in the remuneration in 2006 in the amount of the internalization of CO2 emissions rights freely assigned by the National Emission Rights Allocation Plan, the NAP, which is basically has no legal duty to be bare. And that's what is the sentence that we received basically a few weeks ago. Now, the impact on the income level is basically 194 million, which is basically deducted for the taxes. And whether it was included in guidance, obviously not. It wasn't included in guidance, but obviously we now feel more comfortable to achieve, obviously, guidance, including this regularization, given that, obviously, the market context in the first quarter has been slightly worse than what we were expecting, especially for the slow demand recovery, the extraordinary events such as the Filomena storm, as well as, obviously, high prices in the period, which is effectively has on the managing of the short position. So that's on the first question. On the second one, when it comes to basically the projects that we have put forward for the EU recovery or the Next Generation EU funds, they totals to 122 projects, 23.3 billion in terms of, you know, total capex. Now, we are targeting the same returns as for other investment, i.e., if there are obviously grants to some of these businesses, they will have basically to reach in terms of our financial targeted returns, the same return. So if it's renewables, and you know, bear in mind that renewables per se cannot be eligible for the Next Generation EU, but they have to have some specific features. So we have some projects in renewables which are either linked to green hydrogen, are either linked to the basically the right transitions in some of the coal facility we are shutting down. So there are projects in renewables, but they need to have some kind of, let me say, different features, because obviously renewables are, let me say, competitive in the market as of today without this next generation EU fund. So the target returns are spread to WACC of 200 basis points when it comes to this business. And we also put forward in the region of 3 and something billion of projects in distribution. And there is the same game. We have a target IRR returns in distribution, which is a spread to WACC of 400 basis points. Now, to the second part of this question, whether these are on top of our basically business plan. Yes, I mean, we in the business plan is only a very small portion of these projects. So the majority, I would say 95 to 97% would be on top. Now, the probability of us being assigned, let me say 100% or a very high percentage of all these projects, I think is low, in the sense that obviously will be a competitive process. We understand, although it's not been made public, that will be basically auctions for different basically areas for these funds, which will be obviously run by the government. So we will see going along. But for us, let me say, even when it comes to Next Generation EU, potentially grants funding on our projects, we need to reach the same economic returns.
Okay, thank you, Harry. The next question comes from Javier Suarez from Mediobanca. Please, Javier, go ahead.
Thank you, Mara, and thank you for the presentation. Two remaining questions. The first one is on the slide number 19, when you are saying that the guidance for 2021 is confirmed. You are mentioning as well that the exceptional conditions during the first quarter should normalize through the year. So will you please help us to understand to what conditions you are referring to, and can you detail how do you expect those conditions to normalize and therefore to see an improvement, I guess, in the margin during the next few quarters? That would be the first question. The second question is on the working capital and the cash flow generation during the quarter. In slide number 16, there has been obviously a very significant improvement in working capital absorption. So the question here is that you can help us to understand if there is a managerial effort there to reduce structurally the working capital absorption, or putting the question in a slightly different terms, what is that the number evolution during the next few quarters? Is that first quarter an extraordinary thing, or is something that we should see as a more recurrent reduction in the absorption of working capital? And maybe a third question, a follow-up from previous question on the recovery fund. So obviously, I think that it was Luca that mentioned the fact that renewables per se are not eligible. So can you help us to understand the logic behind the over 100 projects that you have presented that are eligible for grant financing, and which is maybe those projects that you believe that are particularly attractive? So any granularity on example of projects that you could be willing to finance would be very helpful. Many thanks.
Okay, Javier, thank you very much for your question. I will try to answer the first one, and then Luca will complement this first one and will answer the two more questions. With regard to the guidance, well, first of all, as you know, and as we have said, the first quarter of this year, 2021, was a challenging quarter. As is also expected to happen, in my opinion, in the second quarter of this year, 2021, both as forecasted for us, affected by the uncertainty about the speed of the economic recovery and the extreme volatility in the commodity and electricity prices. This, in our opinion, we really forecasted this, and what we were waiting for is a recovery in the second half, an important recovery in the second half of the year. I should say that in demand, et cetera, we are seeing these results in this second quarter. But on top of these forecasts that we had, what we have seen is a weak demand, lower than expected, as we have said, higher ancillary and load shape costs due to the restriction of the COVID linked to the Philomena and the, as I have said, the very low thermal gap in February, linked also with the CO2 and gas prices. We have been not able just to manage the short position that we have a lot of benefits in the year 2020 due to the forward high forward and low spot prices that we had in the year 2020, and also we have had a negative mark to market in gas in the 2020, in the first quarter of 2020. And positive in the first quarter of 2020, negative in 2021. So, despite of all of this, I think that we've got a very good results. Let's say 1 billion euros. 1 billion euros. If you compare with the first quarter of other years, 2019, 18, 17, 16, higher than this. Lower than the previous year, yes, because it was extraordinary, and we had on top of this short position value that we got many other good results in mark to market, etc. So we remain confident to reach our guidance by the year end. And believe me, this is not a whim, but is based on our view about the integrated margin and in the year as forecasted. Also, the gross gas margin that will meet our guidance, supported by the positive, also by the positive results from the reopeners processes that were scheduled this year. We think that there will be no surprise in the regulated business. And finally, the efficiencies will arise from the plans adopted in the last few years. All in all, we feel, as I have said, comfortable, absolutely sure that we are going to reach our commitment with the market. I don't know, Luca.
Yes, maybe just complementing on this. Basically, we are expecting, obviously, a liberalized margin in the region of 2.3 billion for the end of the year, which is aligned to guidance. And that is based on a normalization, obviously, with an unitary margin, integrated unitary revenue margin in the region of 29 to 30 euro per megawatt hour. Obviously, we are increasing sales that are more concentrated in the second part of the year, as COVID impact obviously should be lower, and basically no additional negatives from ancillary services, which affected us in terms of cost for an additional 25 million in this quarter. Obviously, considering a normalization of this market for less volatility. In gas, obviously, we expect as well to meet guidance that are also on the back of, let me say, the positive results coming from the reopeners process that we are basically working on this year. And the fact that obviously the flexibility of our contracts will allow us to contribute to continue obtaining additional value in the diversion of shipments in other markets. We have already few cargoes already diverted this year. So this is, I would say, working well. And when it comes to the regulated part, obviously distribution and island CPDA also are, I would say, in line to reach the targets of 2 billion and 200 million, respectively. Concerning distribution, basically we had the results in the first quarter with slightly below expectation due to delays in revenue for smart meters, rentals, as well as connection fees for 13 million, and this should be obviously expected to be recovered along the year. And then finally, on efficiencies, obviously, we are expecting to reach the guidance of 1.9 billion of target, because all the provision that took last year should impact in the region of just slightly more than 60 million in terms of efficiency this year. So that to give some numbers on the guidance. So on the second question regarding working capital, I would say that this was an exceptionally good quarter when it comes to working capital and cash flow generation in general. We are expecting working capital to be basically neutral along the year, not having neither a negative or positive impact. But let me tell you that managing working capital in a COVID environment is probably the most difficult things a CFO has to manage. So we are, working on that assumption. But to your questions, first quarter has been exceptionally good in terms of managing working capital. So you shouldn't expect the same performance for the rest of the year. And then when it comes to, some details for our projects that we submitted to Recovery Fund, as I said, 23.3 billion in total in terms of CapEx, 122 projects. Geographically, obviously the majority on mainland, about 20 billion. Then we have in the region of 3 billion on the islands and something also in Portugal. When it comes to the type of projects, we have about 3.7 billion in smart grids, of which 2.5 in grids automation and 1.2 in resilience. And again, none of what I'm saying was included in the business plan. We have about 800 million in sustainable mobility, about 2.2 billion in building refurbishment and efficiency. As you know, there's been a recent approval of tax incentive also in Spain regarding basically energy efficiency for buildings. We have, and I think we discussed this in the past, about 3 billion in green hydrogen, which includes electrolyzers as well as renewables. And obviously in this case, renewables are basically supported by the Next Generation EU funds, so are eligible. And then we have about 4.6 billion in storage and flexibility. Storage is eligible for the Innovation Fund. And then another 8.2 billion in renewables, which again are not straight renewables, but are either synchronic generation links to renewables or other type of innovations in renewables. And the majority for us are projects linked to the basically refurbishment of the sites where we are shutting down coal facilities. And then we obviously have some others for upgrading of existing plants. So those are, I would say, more or less the areas in which we are putting our projects. And obviously we have, a good understanding of what could be eligible and what could be not. And in terms of returns, I think I commented before. So that's more or less should answer your third question.
Next question from the line comes from Enrico Bartoli from Stifel.
Hi, good evening. Thanks for taking my questions. I have three as well. I would like to go back to the guidance, and particularly we are seeing a continuing upward trend in the power prices to the evolution of CO2. I was wondering, how safe the guidance is in this context if this trend upward for prices in 2021 continues. And if you are protected in some way through your hedging policy. A second one is related to slide 7. You highlighted this decline in electricity sold on the B2B segment. I was wondering how much this is related to the weakness of demand still due to COVID, how much is related to the competitive environment in the commercial side that you mentioned before, and if you can share with us your view on the evolution of your electricity sold to this segment over the next quarter. I understand that you expect some recovery in the second half of the year, but if you can provide some additional comments. And the last one is related on the net debt guidance for the full year. If I remember well, you had 8 billion, if this is confirmed. Thank you.
Okay, Enrico, I will try to give you some color of this question, the first and the second question, and Luca will complement this. Our guidance, how confident we are, as I have said, absolutely confident and comfortable with this. It is true that power prices are increasing, and our power for position has been negatively impacted in the first quarter of 2021 by these higher than expected, let's say, that power prices in Iberia, but has been compensated by the positive result of our long position in commodities, mainly CO2 and oil, in which we had a clear bullish view. And well, looking at the full year, a dynamic strategy that we will apply will lead us to limit the impact of high power prices. At the same time, that we take advantage of the anticipated CO2 purchases. That is an opinion and other things, but Luca could complement. And in relation with the what about the reduction in the B2B segment, it's mainly due to the COVID effects that has really hit this segment, mainly industrial and SME companies. Let me say that during the whole year, that is during the lockdown and the pandemic situation, the drop was something around 10% in the industry, 10% in the services, and a slightly higher B2C. Now, services and SME continues around 10% of drop compared with the same period of the last year, and only the industry is recovering little by little the situation. So, in my opinion, the first thing here is yes, the COVID effect. But Luca, could you complement?
Sure. Now, when it comes to the first questions, I think you touched upon, I mean, basically, we still have obviously some open position when it comes to electricity position. But as Pepe said, basically, this is counterbalanced by long position when it comes to Brent and CO2, obviously, for the production that we're expecting in the islands. And these two effects are basically mitigating themselves. So even though you could expect, let me say, higher power prices throughout the year, we have, let me say, an edge that is working perfectly in order not to suffer any negative effect. When it comes to the third question, the guidance was 8.2 billion when it comes to net debt for this year, and we confirmed the guidance assuming regular working capital of about 600 million, so some improvement in regular working capital along the year.
Thank you. The next question comes from Jose Ruiz from Barclays. Please, Jose, go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, and thanks for taking my questions. Just to, the first one is, within the integrated unit margin, are you including the 188 million euros from the CO2 regularization? And if you can share what is from that 30 euros the retail margin. And the second question is basically if you can make a comment on the proposal of the new capacity market in Spain, and if there is any impact. I was wondering if you had included it in your business plan. Thank you very much.
Okay, so maybe Pepe, I'll ask the first one, you go for the second one.
Let's go.
Okay, so when it comes to the CO2, basically, clawback 488, yes, those are included in the integrated margin. Let me add that obviously we have this positive effect, but we also have some negative effects in the first quarter of this year. The sum of all these effects are non-recurrent for a positive of 100 million. So it's a positive 188 for the CO2, as we mentioned. And then we have negative for ancillary services cost for the volatility we experienced in this first quarter of 25 million. We have a negative mark-to-market in gas and electricity for about 50 million, the majority in gas, and some other non-recurrent in fixed cost. So let me say that we have a positive non-recurrent of about 100 million in the first quarter. And when it comes to the basically retail margin, we have, as mentioned during the presentation, a slightly higher than €10 margin in supply, and is slightly better than first quarter last year. And for the second question, I'll hand over to Pepe.
Okay, Luca and Enrico. First of all, we have not considered this capacity payment in our business plan because, well, up to the last, if I'm right, the 19th of April, we didn't know anything. But it is true that the minister, Teresa Rivera, announced that the Spanish government is launching a consultation on a draft regulation to create a capacity market in order, on the one hand, to secure the deployment of renewable in line with the Spanish National Energy Plan 2021 to 2030, and on the other hand, to improve the security of supply, which is very, very important. Let me say that if we are expecting, forecasting to have more than 70% of the output in the year 2030 coming from renewables, you should really try to improve or to give some kind of comfortability to the security supply. And the only way to do that is the capacity remuneration of pure capacity. And I say not only new capacity, but also the existing one. And looking for, in my opinion, efficient market signals that are needed to attract new investment on the one hand, and to maintain existing plan, which are absolutely necessary to ensure that demand is met. So we are very happy with this new regulation. We will see what happen. It will take, in my opinion, around 2 years just to deploy and to start with this because of all this discussion that we will have with the we will have, I mean, the companies with the minister and also the minister and the government of Spain with the European Union. But it's some good news for us. The second thing is that we don't have any euro or any payment in our business plan linked to this.
The next question comes from Javier Garrido from JP Morgan. Please, Javier, go ahead.
Thanks. Good afternoon. I think there is only one question left, and if you could explain a little bit more in detail the evolution of the liberalized margin in electricity, where you are reporting a €26 million increase, and this includes the €188 million CO2 regularization, while the drop in sales, in liberalized sales, and the drop in integrated margin of €4 per megawatt hour would explain a €100 million drop in the gross margin. So what is the driving the delta? You have a €188 million one-off in CO2 and a €100 million drop in the gross margin from liberalized sales. And why is only the electricity gross margin growing by €26 million? And apologies for the convoluted question. Thank you.
Hi, Javier, this is Luca. So just to give you the integrated margin evolution, basically we have a generation margin, which is down about €54 million, and this is driven by the negative impact of the Catalan tax for about €30 million. We have €25 million of lower OTC references vis-à-vis basically last year. Flat margin in generation for ancillary services, which is a cost in retail, and an output which is slightly higher for basically renewables for 0.3, but there's no relevant impact when it comes to generation. In supply, as I mentioned, it's more or less flat, but we have basically a €22 million plus impact from a better sales mix, i.e., lower sales for about 0.7 terawatt hour, but slightly higher margin. That is basically 0.2, and that is driven by B2C sales, but basically 25 million of cost in ancillary services. We are a long, basically, customer position. We have a long customer position, so we are a net payer when it comes to ancillary, especially when you have this volatility, because we cannot recover, basically, this cost in generation. And obviously, the short position, which was positive for 44 million last year, and is basically zero this year. So these are basically the effects that are driving basically down the part in electricity. Then when it comes to gas, obviously the mark to market is the one that is affecting this quarter, but you asked for electricity.
The next set of questions come from Jorge Guimarães from JB Capital.
Good afternoon. Many thanks for taking my questions. I just have two. The first is if you can clarify the negative market in gas, where it is coming from. And the second one related to your very detailed explanation about the strategic behavior in the supply market in Spain. From your words, I understand that one of the incumbents has started a price war, but the other, you and the other two or three, so far did not responded. What do you believe will happen to the other incumbents which, from your words, not enter into this war so far? Do you expect them to remain still, or do you see any risk of them entering into this struggle, this fight? Thank you very much.
Well, let me try to answer the second question, and then Luca again will complement and also will answer the first one. In my opinion, there must be a rationality and economic sustainability supporting any business. That is the first thing. When some agents only intends to speculate in the short term, instead of seeking to create value in the medium long term, a bubble is created. That is what happened in the renewables, and that is what happened in the supply. But just because is not sustainable in the future, what I think and what I would like to think is that it is more a tactical situation that will finish shortly. The thing is that you should maintain yourself calm, doing things, of course, doing things, because what we are looking for is just to create value for our customers and also for ourselves. As I have said, being incumbents, which means for me big players that wants to stay in the business for long. So being incumbents or being new entrants, but trying to be for a long time in the market, in the business, you should take care about the market. That doesn't mean you are not going to compete. Of course, we are going to compete. You should compete in technology. You should compete trying to reduce costs. You should compete, but never you should try to go below your costs. Let me say, many suppliers, I would say new entrants, or some, well, at least some of them, if you go to the P&L, it is amazing or negative. So what are they looking for? If they have negative P&L, they are looking for increase the customer base and sell the customer base. But that doesn't fit very well with an incumbent. I mean, a big company that wants to stay in the business for a long time. So that is why I have said, first of all, I don't think it's going to last a long time. Second, it's our strategy. On the one hand, continuing with our effort in digitalization, looking for the platformization, looking for a unique value proposal to our customer, looking for creating value. On the other hand, of course, trying to mitigate these, let's say, I would like to say shorter situation. And that is what I have said, navigating in troubled waters. I think that sooner or later, and I think sooner, we will see how things go to what it should be. That means a very high competition, that is, but not a silly competition. That is my opinion. And Luca.
Yes, and when it comes to the first questions on the mark-to-market of gas, I mean, obviously, these are the position that we have on gas, so no cash. The delta is 61 million. It's negative for 32 million this quarter, and it was positive for about 29 million in the first quarter 2020. Now, as I said, this is basically, we don't have any cash effect, and we expect basically the impact to be diluted on fully neutralized basis along the next quarters as contracts are being settled. So it's just, let me say, the current mark-to-market on the position as of today. And I guess this is the first question. We don't have any other questions, Mar.
Thank you. The next question comes from Lillian Stark from Morgan Stanley. Please, Lillian, go ahead.
Hi, just one question for me. You had in the past mentioned that you were focusing more on the SME segment. Given the troubles they've had so far, from what you mentioned that they're still seeing declines in demand, I was just wondering if there's any concern on your behalf around counterparty risk, that some of these businesses might just be under pressure for a bit longer, given how they might have been affected by the COVID situation.
Pepe, you want me to answer this?
Yeah, okay. Please.
So when it comes to, let me say, managing of bad debt and what we are seeing on bad debt evolution, let me say that once we have seen still some tail of COVID in the first 2 months of this year, already in March and April, this has been recovering quite well, especially in all the B2B sector, including SMEs. Now, where we see more, potential increase in terms of provisioning throughout the year is on B2C. B2C is the one that is most affected as of now. So it depends a lot on, the recovery, the GDP recovery of the country and the impact of this on basically Main Street in order for us not to increase provisioning in B2C this year. But when it comes to SMEs in particular, we have seen already a positive rebound in terms of evolution of basically counterparty in the last 2 months. So the months of March and the months of April.
Okay. Alberto Gandolfi is back with some additional questions. Please, Alberto.
Mar, thank you. Just one, actually, and just because the magnitude is big, so apologies for following up. Abusing your kindness, but Luca, you said 100 million is the net positive effect in the quarter. Am I right in thinking that you're just talking about above EBITDA, and then we also have the 80 million financial expenses, or is it 100 million all in at the, let's say, just the entire level at the bottom line? Thank you.
So the financial expenses effect, that's it comes obviously with the rest of the sentence, but to be honest, we are not planning on the bottom line. So the non-recurrence in the quarter are positive 100 million, and the majority of them, especially the CO2, was not obviously, accounted or budgeted for, but we had obviously a tougher situation in the first quarter we had to face. So that's why we are basically confirming guidance, expecting a normalization of the situation along the year and counting on these basically 100 million positive that we recorded in the first part of the year.
Okay, thank you. This was the last question from the call, and we have received a couple of questions from the web. Okay. The first one comes from Eric Mamadov from Bloomberg, and I guess that is for you, Luca. How do you expect your cost of debt to evolve in the coming years if the increase in bond yields and inflation continues?
So to date, we have 60% of gross debt, which is interest rate hedged. The average life of this hedge is similar to the one of the debt as a whole, which is 4.5 years in terms of duration. So given the absolute level of rates in the Eurozone and the significant percentage of risk hedged, we do not expect basically any material impact, or we expect a very moderate impact. Now, the current estimation for the full year is still 1.7 in terms of cost of debt. And obviously, if really interest rates tends to go higher, like we have seen in the US recently, obviously we can also basically start to fixing more because we've been probably one of the utilities with the more variable stance in the past that obviously has allowed us to reach this basically low cost of debt, but obviously as soon as we see a change in the environment, we could actually fix more and, you know, maintaining or limiting any impact on the overall cost of debt.
Okay, and the last question comes from Gonzalo Sanchez from UBS, and he's asking about our view of the potential auction for the excess capacity from the coal plants that will be shut down. If we have some advantages by presenting a fair transition project, or we will go through the competitive process that the government is planning to launch.
I will say something and then Luca, please complement the answer. We will go through the competitive processes that we will see in the future. Having said that, just in the so-called gas transition, we have many projects linked to the special coal power plant closure, to the coal power plant closure that will create really employment and will restore the place in which we had these coal power plants. So having said that, well, mainly we will do these tenders, let's say that, competitive processes, and perhaps some of them we will have an extra premium, let's say that, just because we are trying to revert the situation due to the closure of these coal power plants.
Yes, and if I may compliment Pepe, basically the regulations for basically governing the auction for each of these processes are still being approved. According to recent statements by the Ministry of Ecological Transition, the first capacity auction should be for the plant of Teruel, which is the node in Andorra, and the work criteria will be obviously socioeconomic and environmental ahead of the economic criteria. And obviously we are working to obtain obviously the necessary capacity for the renewable developments we are planning in this area.
Okay, many thanks. There are no more questions, and just remind you that, as always, our team will be available in case you need any help or you have any further question. Thank you very much for your attention.